We now cross to what is happening in Israel's northern border and actually across the border in Syria, where just hours ago, Israeli forces struck Syrian military targets near Sweida, which is a Druze city in southern Syria. The move came after intense clashes between the Druze fighters and Bedouin militia, which led to the deployment of troops. Now, the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says the strikes are to protect the Druze community and keep the border demilitarized. And joining me on the phone is Mansour Ashkar, who is a Druze from Syria and a former IDF officer, to help us understand what's happening on the ground. Mansour, as always, thank you for chatting with us. What exactly did happen in Sweida, and how are local Druze responding to Israel's strikes?
Thank you for having me, first of all. And just a little correction. I know you didn't mean it that way, but I'm a Druze from Israel, but I have relatives in Syria.
Oh, so sorry. I didn't mean it that way.
It's all mixing up.
I write. Well, that's not an excuse,
no,
but you are right.
It's weird for the audience that the Druze from Syria was an IDF.
I was going to say, then I need to talk to you for about an hour about that, because that would be a hell of an achievement.
That would be a hell of a story, yeah. Eli Cohen, Druze style. So, what's happening in Syria is very difficult. The best way that I can explain it to our viewers is when you, if you're a Jew around the world and you woke up to see October 7, how did you feel when you saw Jewish people being slaughtered, you know, humiliated, in the most desecrated, you know, their bodies in the most humiliating way? And that's how we woke up this morning, seeing dozens of bodies slaughtered in a prayer house, radical Muslims going around, you know, laughing at them, mocking them, shaving their beards, kidnapping women and children. It's a very, very difficult place to be in, very frustrating to see that from far away. The Druze have been trying to survive under the Jolani regime, and they've been just looking for an excuse, how can they massacre the Druze? And slowly, slowly, because Jolani knew that he cannot send his forces southern from Damascus, because Israel told him, this is a no-military zone, you bring your tanks here, we're going to take them down. So he was unable to directly go and try to ethnically cleanse the Druze. But what he did is he started sending his proxies, which are the Bedouin tribes that are living in that area between Sweida into Israel. It's called the Dara area, which, for the people who are listening now, a very sad but interesting fact, these were the Bedouins that Israel was helping when they were being butchered by their own leader, Assad, and they built them hospitals and took care of them, and the Druze were rescuing him back then. Oh. And now these guys turned on them and started killing them, so they were slowly, slowly sieging on them and attacking their food supplies and medical convoys, kidnapping their people. And the latest attack, they attacked some of the food trucks that were going to that town and kidnapped some Druze people. So the Druze, in retaliation, went and kidnapped some of their people, and they did like a hostage exchange, which is quite normal in that Mad Max reality of jihadist town Syria. But what happened is they used that excuse, and the government came with their tanks, artillery, drones. We're talking Grad missiles. These are like big, big Russian rockets that are used by Hezbollah to shoot over Israel, and started attacking the villages outside of the mountain, luring the Druze men to go outside of their mountain to rescue women and children and kidnap, and then slaughtering them. Now, the Druze are unequipped and don't have the manpower, the fire, the ammunition, the equipment to fight this kind of war, but they were relying very much on the promise that Bibi Netanyahu and the government of Israel made for them, which is Jolani hand off the Druze. Now, here is what I think is the biggest, most, it's hard to say it because Israel is my country and I love my country, but I think again and again, they're proving that they don't understand the Arab world. Israel went and thought that by shooting one missile at a tank and one missile in an open field, that would send a message to these jihadists to go back. But what happened actually did is whenever an airstrike came, the jihadists froze, they were about to run, but then they saw that it was not targeted on them. They waited a little bit, and that gave them a little bit more confidence to actually go and keep the attack, and then again and again. And only now, Israel is realizing that they should have maybe started from the beginning as hard as you can with these people, because they only understand force. people don't like to hear that, you know, when you're living in Switzerland or I don't know what. Maybe Switzerland actually do, but when you're living in, I don't know, all kind of fluffy European countries, they don't like to hear that. But there's places in the world where there's savage Arab Islamist mentality, and if you don't show them strength, they see it as weakness. So what happened is they started going and shelling the Druze villages, and they breached into the capital of the Druze, which is Saweda. They captured about 5 to 6 Druze small villages, slaughtered the man, kidnapped the woman, and now they're heavily fighting in the streets in Syria. They're fighting literally street by street, but the only thing is that they have tanks, they have artillery, they have drones that were bought to them by Qatar. The Druze have nothing. They've been under a siege for so long, they barely have ammunition. Many of the fighters are just surrendering because they run out of ammunition, or they're running back to try to look for bullets on the ground, but they're still fighting. Now, last that I heard is that Israel realized that they need to intensify the attacks on the regime, and now they're doing it. But I want to make something very clear for the viewers as well. When Israel is doing that, not only that they're not risking IDF soldiers on the ground, because they can solve this whole problem from the air, but it's also an interest of Israel, because when you look at these people with their grads and their tanks and their dushkas walking around slaughtering, killing, laughing at dead bodies, kidnapping women, if you think for a second that they will not do the same thing to the Jews or to the Americans or to the Israelis, you're living in La La Land. Not only that these monsters are not in any way partners for the Abraham Accords, they're showing it. Like, there's no way that you can have peace with this kind of mentality unless they're being humbled, crushed, pushed away, and then a new generation can come. But from what we're seeing right now and hearing from the Druze, and I have family members there who are fighting, some of them I actually lost contact with, so I don't know how they are right now. But last I heard that they were closing on them and closing on them. When you're hearing from them, they tell you, like, these people, they're racist, they're behaving like savages, they just want to cleanse everything that is not Sunnah, and they don't like you guys. So whatever you think that Jawlani is telling you, I know that America's trying to push for it, Israel was trying to hope for it, but I just think that this is too early and too naive to trust a former ISIS terrorist that he can be a partner for peace without him doing a single action to actually prove otherwise. All that he did is actually started backing and attacking, you know. Yeah.
We have about 40 seconds, so I want to quickly just ask you, right now there's a massacre underway. You say there's fighting in the streets, there's tanks, and the Druze have no equipment and nothing to help them. Where is Israel right now, and what does Israel need to do right now?
If Israel want to save their allies, the Druze, from a complete massacre and from losing their lands, they need to send their fighter jets and target all these tanks and convoys of jihadists. It's very easy. They behave like a horde. As someone who was in special forces and I encountered them many times, they don't usually use a lot of tactics. They just run like a mob. I call them Muslimbies for that reason. They look like a Muslim zombies, basically, full of rage. So they need to go and target these ones quite easy and just take them out. It's a win-win. The day that you take out radical jihadists and their weapons and you save your allies, it's a win-win for Israel, and it will save the minorities in Syria. By the way, not only Druze, also Christians and Alawites are in dire danger right now. So Israel should really step up their game and just go in and not try to do a shot here and a shot there. Warning shots, should go and see it as a full-on threat, not only to their allies, but also to Israel.
Mansour Ashkai, a former Israeli Druze officer with the IDF and the Israeli Special Forces. Following on from what you're saying, I'm going to reach out to some Israeli officials and pose that exact question. Why is Israel not directly involved protecting its Druze cousins and the minority communities inside Syria? Mansour, thank you for bringing us up to date.